So here's a question for us to consider. Can we change or alter the day of ruin that we're in? Well, no, we can't. We cannot change that entire, the dispensation, the ruin that has come in. We're not going to be able to alter that. But what God is calling for us, and we'll see this in some of the latter chapters, is he's calling individuals to come out from the unfaithfulness, the giving up of the principles, to gather unto the name of the Lord in New Testament, according to New Testament teachings. You see, we don't want to be, and Tim, what you're saying is true in a sense. The ruin is all around us. And what was happening to Timothy is that he had become occupied with that. And it had almost like landlocked him. It had handcuffed him from being effective as an individual. And that's why I think Paul now goes back to talk about the spiritual legacy that is seen in the life of Timothy. That he mentions here three generations of those who were faithful to God. That there was faith, genuine faith in God, who is able to help us stand in a day of ruin. So he goes back to his grandmother. And you know, many of us here are very privileged to be able to look back and see that we have had grandparents and great-grandparents who came to know the Lord Jesus as Savior and were faithful men and women in the day in which they were called to be faithful. They then passed that faith on. They exposed their children, our parents, to the Word of God. They took up that wonderful gift that is found in the Lord. They were faithful. And now we come along, and you and your generation. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, I know what was in your grandmother, your mother, and I'm persuaded that it is in you also. What is that? That genuine faith and confidence in the Lord. And he's saying to Timothy, don't just sit down and be overwhelmed by all of the ruin that's around you. God has given you, and this is to Timothy, he gave Timothy a special gift and a special charge through Paul. And he's saying, stir that up. Be active. Activate that which God has given to you so that you might be a spiritual encouragement in the assembly here at Ephesus and to you and I in the local assemblies from which we come from. But we cannot fall into the trap, if you would, that happened to Timothy. Humanly speaking, we will become depressed. We will become discouraged when you say, oh boy, you know, I listened to Brother Chuck and Brother Tony and about how wonderful it was 30 and 40 years ago. And my granddad who talked about how great it was and the vitality 50 years ago. Well, you know, you don't live in those days. But in the day in which you live, he's saying, stir up that spiritual gift that God has given to each of you. Be busy. Be faithful. And if you are faithful, the God who is given to us this promise of life that will carry us through to the day of the great rewards, he will be with you. And that's what I think is important.
How many things that God had given us, because again, I think it's very important to realize that, yes, we don't want to be overwhelmed now with everything. So let's just count what we are given so far. Write them down, because you think, well, what do I have to work with? You have grace, that's verse 2. You have mercy. Mm-hmm. You have peace. You have, in verse 3, pure conscience. Look at, these are all of the things that you are giving now to sustain that life that you are living against everything that's going around you. Mm. You have prayer. You have feelings that express itself in tears. Real feeling of what's going on. You have genuine faith in verse 5. Look at, just put them down. Look at all of the things that you have that God had given you so you would not be overwhelmed. You have every resource available to sustain this life. Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I was just want to follow with Tony, too, and you also, that the wonderful thing that is given to Timothy in this book is that there is a company. We want to remember, yes, it is important, and we are addressed as individuals. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God is using men today. We don't see the angels involved. They are ministering spirits, but he's using men today. But we want to always remember that there is a company. I always equate 2 Timothy to the book of Judges. The book of Judges we've gone through with Gideon and others, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The book of Joshua more would relate, I believe, to what was going on in 1 Timothy when there were great victories. But God is always using men. The great question is, am I a man or a woman who is prepared to be used by him? Am I willing? Am I willing to give of what is in my life? Am I saying, Lord, here am I. Do you remember what Paul said when he was saved? Lord, what do you want me to do? Not what do you want Tony to do now or John, but Lord, how can I serve you? Now, I want to touch a little bit on also verse 5. I want to talk to you a little bit about something that's very practical. We remember that we've got quite a few kids that joined us this year. I was thrilled last night to hear the gospel speaker ask, what kind of a relationship do you have with your mother? What kind of a relationship, brothers, do you have with your fathers and your grandparents? They aren't perfect. They do make mistakes. But the most wonderful thing that you can have as a child of God are parents that love you and that are concerned for you. I say to the sisters here, and I look at my own daughters, there's no better friend for you than your mother. You know, a son's a son till he takes a wife, but a daughter's a daughter for the rest of her life. We know the truth of that as older ones. So I want to encourage you in your relationships at home. And I'm going to say something to you. If there's something about that relationship that is not what it should be, today, if possible, begin working on making that right. Begin working today. This is what Timothy's reminded of here. Listen, Timothy, do you remember your mother? Your grandmother? I don't know where. I'm sure they perhaps were still going on at this time. But he reminds them of that faith that was in them. The enemy builds barriers. He starts in the home. He starts in the relationship between kids, siblings, and others. Many of us took a long time for us to learn to say to somebody, I am sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? These relationships are critical in your growing up for the Lord to be a man of God in a day to come. So I'm thrilled at the exhortation we had last night, and I think it's quite fitting to see it here. If your relationship with your mother or your parents or your guardians are not what they should be, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Let's work on it and let's try to fix those things.